Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
All right, come on, let's give God a great shout today. Come on, we are not worshiping a God that is dead, but a God that is alive. Not a God that is done doing miracles, but a God that is just beginning. Come on, we're living in the greatest days, the finest hour. God, today we come with an expectation for you to do what you've never done, for us to see what we've never seen. Move today. Let miracles happen. Let healings take place. Let marriages be restored. God, we serve you, the name above every name, above cancer, above sickness, above depression, above divorce, above everything that we might see. God, it's your name that we worship. It's your name that we glorify. We thank you for who you are. We worship you today. Come on, lift your hands. Lift your hands. Surely God is in this place. Nobody like him. Nobody comes close to him. He's the one that your heart's been searching for. He's so desperately in love with you. None like him. None comes close to him. Let me just share you this. You can let your hands down for a minute. Stay standing though, just for a second. I want to share you this. We were in Israel, and I was nerding out big time. Like it's not all the time you're standing in the actual place that Jesus was standing in. It doesn't happen all the time. And on one day, we went. If you know the story of Jesus at all, when he was taken to be crucified, he was tried three different times by Caiaphas, by Herod, and by Pilate. We went to the house of Caiaphas, which was the high priest, supposedly the high priest. And in his house, he had a dungeon. So after he was tried, Jesus was tried, they took Jesus to this dungeon and beat him and then lowered him into this dungeon. We have a photo of it that the team's going to put up. But in this dungeon, that Jesus was in, there wasn't steps in the door that led into it. They didn't have that. They would tie a rope around Jesus and around any prisoner they would put in there, and they would lower them down into this stone pit with no lights, with no life. And you can see it in there. They had put this up there, but it's stone walls on either side, maybe 8-10 feet tall, with a little hole that they would lower him down. About 4 or 5 feet from the bottom, they would just drop them on their face in the middle of that pit. We got to stand in that pit and worship God and read a scripture. It's probably one of the most powerful moments of my life, being in that place and seeing what our Savior went through, because he was so in love with you, with me. And on the outside of that wall, there was a scripture. And it read this. It read, "The servant of the Lord, because he surrendered himself to death and was counted among the wicked, while bearing the sins of many and interceding for transgressors, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name above every name." The devil thought by putting him in that pit, he was destroying him. But by putting him in that pit, he was exalting him. So while the rest of the service goes on and while we're here for another 30 or so minutes, whatever it is that you're walking through, whatever it is that is in front of you, however big the wall is, that obstacle is, whatever's going on, He's for you. And when He's for you, who or what can be against you? Today, God will do what you never thought of, dreamt of, or imagined. Anything's possible. Anything's possible. God, we thank you for who you are. Move. Move today. Like you've never done before. In every heart and in every life. Thank you. You are exalted above every name. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't you give somebody a high five? You can take your seat. Take your seat. As you do, I want to read you this scripture. I don't know if many of you have the Bible app, but it gives you a scripture of the day. And just so happened that the scripture of the day today was Isaiah 43, chapter 2. It says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you." How incredible is that? That's the scripture of the day that every single person who has that app in the entire world, millions and hundreds of millions of people are reading that same scripture. And it cannot be more perfect than what we're going through right now in San Diego. And because the fire can consume what you got, but can't take away who you are. So we got to make sure that we stand strong. Thanks, guys. Thanks, team. You're amazing. You're the best. Put your hands together for the worship team. They're going to come back up in a couple minutes. They asked for it. They begged for it. They're like, "Can we just stay up the whole time?" I said, "No, not today." Hey, yeah, what a special treat it was to be in Israel. It was, if you haven't been, you need to save up whatever you got to do to get there because it will change your life. It makes the Bible go from black and white to color. It comes alive, and you actually see what took place and what happened. You fall in love with God all over again. And I came back with a whole new passion. You're going to see some of it today, but you'll see more of it in the future. I got a bunch of messages that I wrote down and that we walked through and that we saw that I can't wait to preach in the future. Just revelation after revelation. But today I got a special message for you. And I believe that God is going to do something exceptional in your life. So I want you to open up your Bible first to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 in verse 26. I want to honor your campus pastors as well, Pastor Matt and Kayla, who are just phenomenal people. It was so fun being with them as well. We were, constantly asking questions. And Shraga, our tour guide, called Pastor Matt Matthew the entire time and loved him like a son. It was incredible to see. He really loved him, cherished him. Always said, "There's something special about you, Matthew." "No, I mean it. There's something special about you." So it was incredible, which is absolutely true. Absolutely true. So Mark chapter 10, verse 26, we're going to read this scripture, and then we're going to go to Genesis and read another one. So what it says, verse 26, "And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, 'Who then can be saved?' But Jesus looked at them and said, 'With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible.'" With men it is impossible, but not with God. Because with God all things are possible. The title of this message, and we're in the Christmas at the Movies series right now, and the title of this message is Miracle on Blank. And I put the blank there for a reason. I know a lot of you have seen the movie Miracle on 34th Street, but I left it blank for a reason today. I left it blank because on your notes, in your journal, and your iPhone or iPad, whatever it is that you're taking notes, I want you to fill in what that area is. I want you to fill in a miracle in your life, a miracle on your street, a miracle where you live, a miracle in your family. What is it today that was impossible when you walked in here? What was impossible when you walked in? What was too big for you to ask? What was too big for you to believe in when you walked in here? Because when you leave in the next few minutes, you're going to leave with a renewed passion and belief in what God can do in your life. See, life is too short for you to live in that realm of impossible. Life is too short for you just to be above or beneath and not above, the tail and not the head. Life is too short for you not to live the life that God intended for you. So in your notes right now, if you're taking notes, I want you to write that down. What's the street that you live on? What's the miracle that you're looking for? What's the expectation that you have today? If you could have anything, ask anything, believe anything, whatever it is, write that thing down. Because I know that if we can just get with God, everything can happen. What you dreamt of, hoped of, believed for, it can take place and happen today. So while I'm preaching and while I'm teaching and leading you, I want you to let God stir in your heart. Don't think about who I am. Don't think about what happened yesterday or today. I want you to leave all that, and I want you to think about who God is. Because when you think about him, everything is possible. When you look at him, when you fix your eyes on him, what was impossible now becomes possible. See, this season, God wants to do a miracle in your life. A miracle on your street. Do you know that everything that God does for you and to you is not just for you? That's why I want to write on my street, because I want everybody on my street to be blessed because of what God does through me. I want everybody in my city to be blessed because of what God does through me. I want my belief in everything is possible not just to change my life, because if it just changes my life, what's the point? I don't want what God does just to change my life. I want him to do something so drastic and incredible, so something so unbelievable that everybody looks around and says, I could not believe it. What just happened? I got to get that God. Like what the disciples walked through. When people looked at them, they marveled and said, man, they're uneducated and they're untrained, and nobody would have expected them to do what they're doing. They must have been with God. When people look at your life, what do they say? When people look at your life, what do they say? Who do they see? Do they see God or do they see you? I love when people don't see me for a few years and they come back to church, and every time they say, oh man, what happened? Because they remember me for who I was, not for who I am. And it's not because I'm gifted. It's not because I'm talented. It's not because I'm so great. It's just because I've been with Jesus. And anytime you're with him, everybody will notice. Everybody can notice that you talk different, you walk different, you pray different, you believe different. Everything about you is different because you've been with Jesus. You know, entered into the realm of where everything and anything is possible. That's a miracle God wants to do more than anything. More than the gift under the tree, the miracle he wants to do in your life is for you to walk away from this season believing that God can and will do anything if you just believe. If you just believe. It's a miracle. The miracle on your street. The miracle in your life. Praise God. Series into it. So how many things are we trying to do by ourselves? How many things are you trying to do by yourselves but getting nowhere? How many times have you struggled on your own and you haven't been able to do it? I haven't been able to break that addiction. I haven't been able to get out of that debt. I haven't been able to do any of these things that I wanted to do. I've tried with everything I had, but you can't do it on your own. And a lot of us have been in that place. I've been in that place. I was in that place with my wife. We dated for about 8 weeks. 6 of those 8 weeks, I was on the Pacific Ocean on a ship serving my country, laying down my life for my country. As soon as we got back, we went to SeaWorld. On the way back from SeaWorld, after all day at SeaWorld, she broke up with me, broke my heart. You know the story. It's actually not really the truth, but. But I remember her walking away and me thinking and having a moment. And she told the youth, she lied to the youth, just so you know, a couple of weeks ago that I cried, which I didn't. I would tell you if I did, but I didn't. I'll cry right now. You want me to cry? I'll make myself cry. But I remember her walking away and thinking to myself, God, I thought this was the one. And I remember God speaking to me at that moment. He says, I've given her to you. Now you just have to earn her. And that might go against some of your theological little beliefs that you don't have to earn something, but I believe that's the way it needs to be with guys and girls, that God loves women so much and they're so precious to him that us men need to earn them. And I remember him speaking that to me, and this is what I realized. I realized that I could not do it. I couldn't. I couldn't win her over. I couldn't make her love me. I couldn't honor her as I could honor her as much as I wanted, but it wouldn't have done it. I could give her gifts every single day, but it wouldn't have done it. It wasn't until I left everything and said, you know what, God, I'm done with this and I'm just going to go after you. It wasn't until the moment that I said, God, all I want is you. I want your presence. I want your power. I want to live my life for you. I want to do something exceptional for you. God, I just want you. It was at that moment that everything changed. It was at that moment that everything shifted when I went from saying, what can I do to earn her love, to saying, God, all I want is you. Because when you go after God, he gives you everything else. So the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So what is it that you're struggling with right now? What is it that's in your life that seems so impossible for you? The solution is not you trying harder, working harder, praying harder. The solution is you just getting with God. Getting in the place where he is, in the moment where maybe you sit or you stand, but you're just around him, and it's a daily thing in your life for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, men's prayer on a Tuesday morning, women's prayer on a Thursday morning, wherever you can be to just get with God. Because when you can get with him, what you thought was impossible now becomes every day. So I don't want to just visit impossible. I want to live in impossible. I want to live in the place where everything happens. Impossible happens every day of the week. Every day of my life, impossible happens. That's the place that I want to live in. That's the place that God has for you. See, without God, you have to understand that you can have moments of peace. Without God, you can have moments of joy. Moments of hope. But with God, you can have a lifetime. A lot of us forget about God because we had a moment. We had a moment of peace. We had a moment of breakthrough. We had a moment of this thing. And we push God aside and we trade it for the moments. And we live our life for the next moment. We live our life for the next thing. We live our life for the next conference. The next thing that we're going to go to, because we're living our life for moments. But if you can just get with God, you don't have to live for the moments. You can have the lifestyle. You can have a lifetime of peace, a lifetime of hope, a lifetime of breakthrough. We have to get with God. We have to get with God. Why don't you open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 32. So how do we get with him? How do we get around him? I want to share you a revelation that I had. Anybody ever been friend-zoned before? You know what I mean? You've been friend-zoned. Most guys, you should raise your hand because it's happened to you. I know it might have been 30 years ago or 20 years ago, but you know it happened. You know that moment where you show up to the party with the girl you like? You show up with her and everybody's like, are you guys together? And you're saying yes, and you look at her and she's like, no, we're just friends. You ever been in that place? Come on, be honest. You know you have. We've all been in that place where we think we're with them. We think we've been dating for like 6 months. We're like, it's getting serious. I'm probably going to propose. And her story is, no, 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 we're just friends. We're just friends. So we've been friends on. The crazy thing is our relationship with God can be really similar to that. Well, just because we're in the same vicinity of him, we actually think we have a relationship with him. We think because I showed up to church weekly or even twice on a Sunday that now I have a relationship with God, that I'm with him. But what we don't realize is we've actually just been friend-zoned. That if you were to ask God if I have a relationship, God's like, nah, not really, not yet. I see them. They're around, but I don't know them. And we wonder why miracles aren't happening. We wonder why the breakthrough isn't happening. We wonder why we're not getting that thing. Man, we're crying out for it, and we're praying for it, but we're not actually getting with God, because it's when we get with God when the miracles start taking place. It's when you can get in the same vicinity of him and spend time with him with no agenda. God, it's not about me asking you for anything. It's about me coming to you in this place and just wanting to be with you, to be in your presence, to be with you. See, I'm not talking about getting to a place where you're around God. I'm talking about that place where you enter a different realm, a different atmosphere, a place where all things are possible, where you believe and you hope and you trust. Now you see things differently. And the wall that was now in front of you, you don't see it as an obstacle, you see it as an opportunity. It's not until you get with God do you see that obstacle is an opportunity. It's not until you get with God do you see that area of pain in your life is a promise. It's not until you get with God that you're going to see that whatever it is, that thing that's holding you back is not something that is holding you back. It is something that is strengthening you. You see differently, you hear differently, you talk differently when you can get with God. The disciples saw this man sitting by the beautiful gate that we actually were at last week. The Bible says they were there, sitting by the beautiful gate. Daily this man was brought, daily he was there. Daily he was brought begging for money, begging for alms, begging for somebody to help them out. And Peter and John walk by him and they look at him. And we all know the story, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the man gets up, he picks himself up, and he walks and he enters the temple for the first time. It's an incredible miracle. The crazy thing is this, is that he had been there every day. Which means Jesus had walked by him. Peter and John had walked by him. Multiple times, Peter and John had walked by this exact man before. And why did they not change him? Why did they not reach out before? Why did they not pull him up before? What had changed in their life? What changed was a thing called the upper room. Was just moments before that, Peter and John were in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit. And they were waiting and waiting and waiting. And then the Bible says, like a mighty rushing wind, the power of God blew through the house. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the power and the fire of God. And so that day when they walked into the temple, it was not like every other day. Because just before that, they had just been with Jesus. So now when they saw him, they didn't see a crippled man. They say, a man who was whole, a man who was well, a man who could do more, a man who had his future ahead of him. Because when you're with God, you see different. The man says, I want alms, I'm looking for money, do you have anything? See, they heard he's looking for money. Everybody around heard money, but Peter and John didn't hear that. Because when you're with God, you hear differently. When you're with God, you speak differently. When you're with God, you believe differently. You respond differently. Everybody else thought they were helping him by giving him money, but Peter and John said, I'm not helping you by giving you money. Silver and gold they probably did have, but they knew that's not what he needed. When you're with God, you can see not what people want, but what people need. You can see what they need, what their heart is crying out for. On the outside, they want this, but on the inside, your spirit is crying out for somebody to love you, to care for you, to treat you the way that you're meant to be treated. When you get with God, you see differently. You act differently. You respond differently. So Genesis chapter 32, I want to read this story of a man named Jacob who was with God, and how everything changed by this moment that he was with God. It says this in verse 22, in chapter 32. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. The band could come up. And he took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the break of day. Just stop there for a moment. Nothing to do with scriptural or great revelation, but I just find that really odd. Like, how many times have you read a scripture, and you just kind of skim through it, and then one day it hits you? Jacob sent over his wife, Jacob sent over his sons, then Jacob was left alone, then Jacob wrestled. Weird. Like, seriously. Jacob, imagine it. When you read the scripture, you ever imagine things? That's what I do. I always imagine what the brook looks like. I always imagine what Jacob looks like what he's doing. So this is what I imagine. I imagine Jacob sends his wife over and then waves goodbye. See you later, wife, kids. See you guys all later. Turns around and starts wrestling a guy. That's the weirdest thing in the world, people. That doesn't just happen. Nobody just says goodbye and then wrestles with somebody all night long. That is strange stuff. Like, the Bible's filled with strange stuff. Like, you could have explained how the man got there, what kind of took place. Like, did Jacob talk to him? Whoa, how you doing? What's going on? The Bible takes all of that out and just says he wrestled with him. Because God's got a sense of humor sometimes. He's like, I know they're going to wonder. Isn't it funny? Jacob said goodbye. Jacob wrestled all night. Weird. You're weird, Jacob. What's going on there? Anyway, so Jacob wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. And he limped on his hip. It's a beautiful moment where Jacob gets with God, gets around him. See, we know that we need to get with God, but we need to know how. Because if we don't know how, we're going to walk out of here the same way as we walked in. We're going to wake up tomorrow on Monday and go to the same job, the same place, and nothing's going to change because we heard a good message, but we don't know what to do. In order for us to get with God, we have to take the principles of what Jacob did here. Jacob saw God, and then he acted on it. He saw that something was different. He acted on it. The Bible says that he wrestled with him until the breaking of day. All night, Jacob held on to this man. All night, Jacob held on to God, to the angel. All night. Because to get with God takes perseverance. To get with God takes you not giving up, not quitting, not letting go, holding on. With everything you have, you got to hold on to that thing. It takes you not giving up. It's going to be difficult. It's going to hurt. It's going to make you tired. You're going to get worn out, depressed, hurt, anxious. Things are going to happen along the way. But if you want to get into the realm of the impossible, you have to hold on to God. You have to hold on to Him. So many people in our church will tell you the story of how God blessed him. And it wasn't because they just woke up and the blessing of God just came. No, it was because there was something that rose up on the inside of them that said this: "I will not let go of you. I will not stop praying. I will not stop believing for my kids. I will not stop believing for my spouse. I will not stop believing for my job. I will not let anything rob me of this breakthrough. I will hold on. I'll put the death grip on the blessing of God. And if I die here, I die here. But I won't let go." Ecclesiastes 9 verse 11 says this: "The race is not given to the swift or the strong, but to him who endures till the end." It's not the most talented, most gifted. It's just the person who can hold on. So many times we separate ourselves from everybody being blessed and everybody having a miracle and everybody having breakthrough because we compare everybody else's life with ours. Well, they've been set up better. They have the better inheritance and better mentors and better all of this. And God looks and says, it's not given to the swift or the strong, but just to him who can hold on longer than anybody else. "I will not let go of you, because I know that if I can just hold on, what I've been praying for, fasting for, crying out for, believing for, I know it's going to come if I can just hold on." Don't let go. Because it's not just your life that will be blessed. The children of Israel, the nation of Israel, came out of Jacob because he held on to God. He refused to let go of him. Jacob held on to God because he knew what he wanted. What do you want? Jesus comes to this man, blind Bartimaeus, cries out to Jesus, and Jesus looks at him and says, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want? What is it? What's the desires of your heart? What's the cry in your spirit? What is it that you need?" God wants to know, because it's that thing that will keep you holding on. Write it down in your journal. Write it down on your mirror. Write it in your car. Put it on your phone. Put it every place that you can see every day. Because the moment that you want to give up, you can look back at that thing that gave you strength in the first place, and you can hold on again. You can believe again. You can hope again. You can trust again. What is it? What do you want him to do for you? What's the miracle you're praying for, believing for, hoping for? What is that thing? If you just understood that the thing that gives him the most delight is giving you and me what we want. That's what he lives for. That's what he died for. Hold on. I will not let go. I will not stop. I will get up. I will pray. I will fight. I will endure. I will do everything I can. I will not let go until you bless me. Jacob was holding on to something. What are you holding on to? He was holding on to his family, his future. What is it that you're holding on to? Maybe it's your son who's far from God. Maybe it's your parents who are going through a divorce. Maybe it's your healing. What is the miracle? And God's word for you today is hold on. Don't let go. Don't give up. There's power when you stay with him. There's blessing, breakthrough. To get with God, we have to persevere. To get with God, you have to fight through the pain. The Bible says as Jacob was wrestling with God, God touched his hip and dislocated it. Another crazy story. Like you're God. Like you're a little bit stronger than man. Why you gotta dislocate my hip? God's like, you know what? I'm getting tired. The sun's about to rise, which I don't know what has anything to do with anything, but the sun's about to rise, so I'm just going to dislocate your hip. He dislocates Jacob's hip, and Jacob still holds on because he understands to get his blessing, he's got to fight through a little bit of pain. How many times have you had pain in your life and you let go? Because it's what's expected, isn't it? You're a victim. People are telling you right now that, yeah, you should let go. You should be a victim. You should complain. You should whine. You should moan. You should live in this place. Jacob gets his hip freaking dislocated and keeps holding on, fighting through the pain. He can't move it anymore. He can't walk anymore, but he holds on to God. He can't run anymore, but he's got a grip on God. What's the pain that you're walking through right now? What's the pain, and is it bigger than your promise? The reason you and I won't get our blessing is because the pain is bigger than the promise. The pain that you're walking through is greater than the promise he has on the other side. The blessing he has, the favor he has, the miracle he has. And a lot of you, you can't even see the promise. You're sitting in here right now, and you're looking at people who are into it, and you're not into it because the pain is too great. It takes everything in you to even lift your hands. It takes everything in you just to show up because the pain is too great. Because the pain is too much. Your pain has eclipsed his goodness, his greatness, his favor, his blessing. Your pain of disappointment, your pain of your shame, of your loss, of your hurt. What is your pain today? What is it that you're walking through? What is the hurt that you're dealing with, that you're limping on? What is it? Let me encourage you today that every single one of us has some kind of pain. We all have it. It's not about getting rid of it. It's making a decision that it will not rule me. It will not rule me. It will not determine my praise. It will not steal my worship. It will not rob me of my dreams and my peace. That pain, it can stay with me as a reminder to the devil that he has not defeated me, as a reminder to what's to come, that I've overcome something and I'll overcome it again. Don't let your pain rob you of your promise. Don't let your pain rob you of your blessing. Don't let your pain steal it. Hold on. Don't let go. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Pain's got nothing on you. God's for you. He's with you. This is your time. This is your moment. You can't change the world. You can do it. You can't fulfill the dream and the promise and the hope and the vision. It can't happen. It's not about getting rid of pain. It's about ruling over it. Break it. Let pain break on you. Everything can change. You know, sometimes we judge someone's promise, their blessing, but we forget to look at their pain. We judge what they have, but we never look at what they've walked through. Before you judge somebody for having more than you, why don't you look at the pain they've endured? The race doesn't belong to the swift or the strong, but just to the one who can endure, who can hold on and not let go. Until your promise becomes a greater motivator than your pain, you will always be stuck in the realm of the impossible. What I mean by that is a scripture. Says these men in the synagogue believed God but refused to confess him because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Whose praise do you love more? What are you willing to break through? I don't like public speaking. It's terrified of it. I still today am. You can ask people, I don't eat before I preach. Ever. I would. I like to eat. I had a fear of man because of certain things that happened in my life. I was terrified of man disapproving of me, looking down at me, rejecting me. I remember I stood in a place and I had two roads. The one where I didn't have to confront my pain and I could have a good life, but I could never have a God life. And the other road was stepping into the uncomfortable, but it's in the uncomfortable that the God dream happens. It's in the uncomfortable that the miracle happens. It's in the stretch that the man's hand was healed. What road are you going to take today? What place are you going to walk today? This Christmas season, what's the miracle that you're looking for, hoping for, believing for? Really quickly, as we come to a close, there are signs. There are signs that you've been with God. There are signs that you've been with him, that you've been around him. The Bible says this in the end of the scripture that we read, that God touched the socket of Jacob. His hip was dislocated for the rest of Jacob's life. He limped everywhere he went. Because when you're with God, it changes the way you walk. It changes the way you walk. When people look at your life, can they tell that you've been with Jesus? by the way you walk, by the way you talk, by the way you act, by how you believe, by the places you don't go to and the places that you do go to, by how you believe for things and how you hope for things. When people look at your life, can they tell that there's something different about you? He walked with a limp because he had been with Jesus. God touched him, changed him. For the rest of his life, he carried that. You think he complained about it? I don't think he ever complained about it. I think he loves it. I think he showed people, look what happened. I wonder how many other people God came to in that same place and wrestled with. And how many people let go before Jacob held on. Who will you be? Who will you be? The one who holds on or the one who lets go? The one who lets the pain be bigger than the promise? Or the one that goes after the blessing regardless of the pain? Signs that you've been with God, he changes his identity. You will no longer be called Jacob. You will be called Israel. God prevails. God prevails. He changes who he is. Changes who he believes. Changes how he confesses. I'm Israel. The children of Israel. Israel, the nation today, is named after this moment here. Because of one man who refused to let go. He changes his identity. What are you confessing today about yourself? What words are you confessing? That you're defeated or that you're more than a conqueror? That you're below or you're above? You're the tail or are you the head? What confession is coming out of your mouth today? What confession is coming out? What's the miracle you're looking for? What's the blank that you filled in your journal, in your phone? What is that thing? He's got to change your identity so he can get you the miracle. He's got to change the confession that comes out of you. I was this, but I'm not this anymore. I was a victim, but now I'm a victor. I was defeated, but now I'm more than a conqueror. I was sick, but now I'm healed. I was deaf, but now I hear. I was blind, but now I see. I was lame, but now I can jump. What are you confessing? What are you speaking? Come on, he's for you. He's with you. There's so much more to this life. Refuse to just exist. Refuse. Refuse it. Refuse to just be another grave in the graveyard. Let your life shine for something. Live for something. Believe. Hope. Go for it. Push aside what people have said about you and go for him. Believe. Believe it with this, then I'm done. When you get with God, he doesn't just change what you'll be called. He changes how you will be known. He changes. Will be known. So here's the question. How will you be known? Gideon, terrified, afraid, chooses God. First thing he does, he pulls down the strongholds and the gods of his father's generation. Will you be known as the generation that lived with the gods of this generation, or the one who tore down the gods of this generation? How will you be known? Will you be known as the one who believed in a time of hopelessness and despair? Will you be the one that did refuse to believe that this is the church's final hours and believe that this is our finest hours? How will you be known? What will you live for? What will you go for? Just take a seat for a moment. I'm gonna just close your eyes as you do. want to ask you this. Before I pray for those people who are really believing for a miracle this season, I want to first pray for people who are not connected to God. You don't know Him, you're far from Him, but you know you need to connect with Him today. If you're in here this morning and you need to connect with Jesus, I'm just going to count to three. And as I count to three, I just want you to lift your hand up. And as you lift your hand, you're just acknowledging that I need to connect with Him. I need Him in my life. I need Him in my world. If that's you all throughout this place, on the count of three, I want you just to shoot your hand up nice and high. It has nothing to do with what's wrong with you. It has everything to do with what's right with you. If that's you today, on the count of three, lift your hand up nice and high. Ready? One, two, three. If that's you, just shoot it up. Thank you. Hands up everywhere. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to wait another 30 seconds because I know there's some people in here. Your struggle is this moment right here. Refuse to move on until you make it right. Come on, who's that one? Who's that person? Today's the day. Hold on to God. Let Him change you. Move in your life. Let's all stand to our feet. Stand to our feet today. I'm going to invite you to do one more brave, bold thing. You can turn the monitors off. I'm good. I want you, if you lifted your hand up and you raised your hand, I want you on the count of three again. We're going to shout, cheer, we're going to worship, we're going to sing this song. And I want you, if you just lift your hand up, to make your way from your seat and just come down front, because we just want to pray with you a next step, a next level. For some of you, this is a hard step. For most of you, it probably is. But I guarantee you it's the moment that everything will change. I guarantee you it's the moment that you leave the old and step into the new, the walk. So I want you, if you lift your hand, I want you to come forward in just a second. If you didn't lift your hand, but you know you need to come forward, I want you to do that as well. So right now, if that was you, if you lifted your hand up saying, I need to connect with Jesus, can you just make your way down? Come on, just come down. Come, come, come. Everybody, everybody who did. Yeah, come. All in the back, come on down. Come on, yeah, come, come, come. South Church, come on. Celebrate you. A great decision. Everything's turning around. Everything's turning around. Everything's changing. I see for your lives, it's a new chapter being turned. The next chapter is blank. You get to write it. God's got something great for you. This is the day. So proud of all of you. Incredible. We're just going to do this. I'm just going to say a simple prayer, and I just want you to repeat that prayer after me. And then our team who's standing behind you, they have a book called Following Jesus, as well as a Bible that we want to get you. And and they're going to do that at the end of the service. But we're just going to pray this prayer, and I want us all as a church to pray this. One of the greatest things we can do is pray this every time like we're praying it for the first time. Right now, the angels are rejoicing, so we should rejoice, right? So come on, let's say this prayer. I want you all specifically up front to say this prayer with me, all right? Say these words. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life today. I hold on to you. Come and make me new. I give you all that I am and all that I have. And I thank you for what you've done for me. And I say today that I will love you, I will serve you, and I will honor you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Come on, put your hands together one more time. Come on, love it. Just as we dismiss, if that was a word for you at all, little, big, in between, whatever, just lift your hand out. Let me pray for you as we go. If you know you're looking for a miracle, that miracle, holding on to God, you know that's the season God is calling you into right now. God, I thank you that you're in this place. God, I thank you for a church that's going to hold on to you, that's going to trust in you. God, a generation, a church that will tear down the gods of this generation. God, I thank you for a people who will believe when nobody else believes, who trusts when nobody else trusts. God, a generation in a church that is with you. God, that lives in the realm of the impossible. God, today we expect none other than the miraculous. God, our miracle, our blessing, and our breakthrough. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.